Welcome back to another episode of Rock Talk. Shout out Prize Picks. Honestly, my favorite way to watch sporting events is to have a little bit of skin in the game. Obviously, like, I don't say, and I wouldn't recommend you, like, bet every time there's a fight because you could lose a lot of money. But, like, sometimes I'll even put, like, fucking small amounts in and just it's, like, more of a rush. So, right now, today, if you guys use promo code Brad on Prize Picks, you guys will get basically, like, double. You'll match whatever you put in. So, up to $100. So, if you put in $100, they'll give you $100 on top of that bet. I mean, you get free. You can get up to a free $100 when you make your first bet. Use promo code Brad. Why would you not want to do it? My favorite thing to bet on, I'm not going to lie, it's the UFC. I have so much fun watching it. It's even more fun when you're like, you have like a bet. Specifically, normally, like, I like to bet actually against my boys. Like, because I like to, if I win and they lose, just I just feel cool, you know? I feel better. It's like a competition, you know?
Well,
like
you feel better because you win and your friends lose?
No, but like if we're betting, we're like, yo, I think he's a great fighter, he's going to win. I think he's a great fighter, he's going to win. Then I'm like, all right, I want my guy to win.
You're just competitive.
I'm just competitive. Obviously, okay. I don't want my friend to lose money, but like, I want to beat him in that bet.
Okay.
So normally I'll make like just bets, but this is a way for you guys to make a bet with like the world essentially. And it's super simple to use, super easy to use. I'm out of here.
Back to the pod.
Back to the fucking pod, baby. Back to the pod.
I also want to fuck the hair up too. Yeah. All right. So international TikTok fuckboy Josh Ray. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
What so, an intro.
Yeah, no, obviously not. You do so much more. Because the thing I find interesting about you and what I want to get into today is like how much you've accomplished and how much you actually work on at such a young age.
Thank you.
What are some of the things you do? I have an idea, but I want you to kind of tell. Because I don't think people really realize, you know, like I said, I made the joke about being a TikTok fuckboy.
Yeah.
Which you kind of started there. But you, I think out of you and the rest of all the fuckboys, I think it was Sway at one point.
Yep.
You seem to have like gone in a very business-like direction and you've done really well.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I always was pretty business-minded as a kid, right? Like growing up, I was always a kid that was like hustling, buying gum at the convenience store, then bringing it to school.
Now, hold on
and
a
selling
second.
It, like,
hold on.
For,
how old are you right now?
I'm 20.
You're still a kid.
I'm still a kid. But when I was a younger kid, like going to elementary school, like I had a lacrosse business where I would dye the mesh and wax coat it, sell it to kids, string their sticks. I had a hockey shirt company with my buddy where we would put different slogans on it.
Kind and you of were like, how old?
The hockey shirt was grade four. So
what?
Whatever age you are in grade four, I guess. But it was always just like I was trying to find different ways to make money. And then when I came across social media with my sister, I was like, wow, this is something I feel like I can really capitalize on. You're building a customer base that's like right in your hand, right on your phone. You have that
sure.
The customer. So from there, went and started TalentX, which was the management company and everything. And after that, it was just how can I start owning equity instead of cash? So we did the energy drink. We started angel investing into like different companies in Series A, B, C, pre-seed. And then from there went and really jumped in and started a venture fund. So we raised $18 million to go and to invest into different companies. And
who's we?
Me, Marshall Salmon, Michael Gruen, Griffin Johnson, and Noah Beck were the ones that did the fund together. But
okay.
It really started when I was angel investing and asking to angel invest like with my business partners, just saying like, how can I start using my money and making my money work for me and make more money?
Yeah. Did like your parents teach you about this shit when you were younger? Because this is the one thing I think that's really interesting. And we still don't do it. Like as a society, we don't teach our kids about like taxes and money and like all the things that really matter. It's more focused on like, I don't know, getting
math.
A job. Yeah. Math and like the history and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
And then when you're 20, 22, 23, you don't know shit about taxes and like money and you get fucked. So did your parents get you on that route? Like, what made you even think that?
I mean, I think I was always a numbers guy because my dad was a calculus teacher. So he was always like, trained me as a kid just to love math. And then from that, that's why I fell in love with social media. It's a numbers game,
right? But did you like math?
I loved math.
I fucking hate
math. Oh, math was my favorite
subject. Dude, I really hate math.
Besides like lunch or gym, it was like math is right there.
Like I'm good at counting fucking 45s. And I swear, dude, like
yeah, count those bitches all day. Yeah, you can multiply 45s like that probably.
Yep, yep. And then thousands and that's it, man.
No, yeah, I love doing the math stuff. So I think like in a way that kind of made me business minded. So yeah, credit to my dad for that. But it's not like I was getting taught how to do my taxes when I was 7 years old or 10 years old or 12 years old, right? It was just something... I think the business world was just something that always intrigued me.
Yeah. But was it just like, where did that come? Like your dad must have put it in you to think of that? Like, because
they supported me, right? Like my parents supported me, but I'm from a small town. Like we're small town people. It's like 15,000 people outside of Toronto. Holy like, shit. Yeah, tiny town. So it's, my dad's a high school teacher at a school with 800 people. My mom's a speech pathologist. They don't really think about the business world. They're not really involved in that. Right. So, I think it was just they were supporting me as parents because they're great parents and they wanted me to believe in myself and have confidence. But I don't know if they really thought at the start, like, holy shit, this is going to be able to take off into a huge business, just right. like I didn't. Like,
so but what got you interested in business? Like, out of, because, like, that's the thing, like I said, out of all the other boys, right? Like, you seem to me to be doing, like, the most in that business world. At least that's what it looks like from the outside.
Right, yeah.
What got you, what do you think made you like go that way? Like, why did you go that direction? Was there someone who came into your life who was like, hey, you should think about this? Or like, what made you take it serious?
Yeah, so two things. One, I grew up watching social media. Like I grew up watching people like, I mean, like the Nelk Boys when I was in high school, or like Logan Paul, Jake Paul. And besides some those three names I named, everyone else that I was watching on social media would come up and then fall away in like a year, right? Maybe 2 years. So I knew that what I had when I blew up on TikTok was possibly fleeting, and it was kind of like lightning in the bottle, right? So I had to capitalize on everything I possibly could. So that's creating different sources of revenue. That's creating stuff that's going to cash out in 7 years, not just like that instantaneous gratification of like going live, making a couple $100 and putting it in your pocket, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's what really drove me. I'd seen so many people think, oh, well, I'm going to be different in social media. I'm going to last 7 years, 10 years, but they don't. Yeah. So I just kind of lit a fire under my ass. And then I had people around me like Michael Gruen when I was first starting this that would help me out with the business stuff and definitely help me kind of figure out what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So but what made you realize, like, because it's just crazy how young you are. What made you realize that it was fleeting? Like what just because you saw people come up and then crash and burn?
Yeah, 100%. Just seeing the people go up and down and... I mean, once you've made it and then you kind of crash, it's a lot harder to get back up, right? Because people have already like seen you and know what you're about. And they're kind of just like, you're not new. You're not exciting. So I think also it brings me into a little bit of a different demo, or at least it keeps me in the news when I'm doing all this business stuff as well, right? So people that aren't just in the TikTok world are getting to see Josh Richards because there's people now in the venture capitalist world that know my name, right? Because of the venture fund. Or there's people that are in the startup world that know about me because I was angel investing. Or there's people in the movie and TV industry that know me because I have a production company, right? So it's like, it's being able to build all these, I guess like build on all these different platforms, build on all these different areas and continue to kind of stay relevant.
Right? Yeah. So you have, I mean, you said these other companies, like the production company, the angel investing company, like, you're not necessarily the one operating and managing these things. You're more as a partner. Like, how is that working? Like, what's your dynamic within the companies?
Yeah, so a lot of the time, it'll start off where it's like, I'm very heavy focused on it. And then once it's able to start running smoothly and we have it operating, that's when... And usually we'd bring in an operator from the beginning, or like the head of my venture fund, for example, is Marshall Salmon. So shout out Marshall. He kills it. But what would happen is at the very beginning, it was like me, Marshall, Michael, and we were going on calls all day. Like, I mean, 6 to 8 hours a day, 30-minute calls. And we're calling different venture funds. We're calling different venture capitalists, angel investors, family offices, trying to raise the money, right? And learn about the space as well. And then once we really get a flow to the fund, at the very beginning, it was all the companies came through, all of us. We were all doing due diligence on every single thing. As time went on, now Marshall's, as the head of the fund, gets to do a lot of that kind of like nitty and gritty work. And then he comes with the companies at the end and he's able to kind of go through them with me and be like, all right, do we like this? Do we not? Let's go through, you know, here's the co-founders. Do we like the co-founders? So it's not as hands-on as it was at the beginning, but that's kind of how we set it up. We bring in the right operators, we bring in the right partners, and they're able to go with it. And then I'm able to be a part of six different things.
Like almost like more as an advisory role, it seems like.
Yeah. Definitely as an advisory, but like for the fun, like I'm a GP for the fun, like a general partner. So it's just depending on the company and how much time I'm going to devote to that company is kind of like how we decide how big my role is.
Yeah. What do you have the most fun doing, do you think?
Definitely my podcast. Yeah.
The podcast is the best.
It's so much fun. And it's really where I get to kind of just be Josh Richards. Like I don't have to put on a business cap or I don't have to put on like the production cap. It's just like I get to just be like the 20-year-old kid.
Yeah. That's fucking I have the most fun doing this shit, man.
So much fun.
So the production thing, what productions has it worked on? Like what productions is it working on?
Yeah, so I mean, brand new CrossCheck, started it about a year ago. So right now we have a couple different things in development. If that's like stuff that's going to be kind of in the sports world or sports realm, we announced, I believe, I hope I'm not fucking spoiling anything, but we announced a show called like Celeb Bet, for example, where it's going to be celebrities and influencers, and they're going up against each other in a wager, right? So let's say you had like you and Arnold Schwarzenegger go up against each other in like some sort of fun, like,
is this gym. Versus backed?
No, it's not. Okay. I believe it's not. No. But it's kind of like just going on like that type of stuff. Or for example, like we'll work on a lot of things in the doc space. So we'll talk to people like Wayne Gretzky doing his Michael Jordan story, right? So it's like it's getting into a lot of the sports space because that's stuff I love. And then also doing a lot of unscripted and like Gen Z content focus for sure.
Yeah. So what are you doing with NHL? You're into sports, obviously. Yeah.
I was the advisor to pretty much like the advisor to Gary Bettman, and just like what we could do with the league, what we could kind of add to the league to make it a little bit more exciting, or just get the youth really into hockey, because it is such an expensive sport to start off, right? It's fucking crazy expensive to play. Like, and so how do we get like ball hockey tournaments going on in these like smaller communities, right? Like that's what I'm looking to do. How do we go and like build a cool like outdoor, an outdoor ball hockey tournament, have a huge tournament, like a pro-am tournament, get a bunch of influencers there, get a bunch of NHL players out there, and then be able to supply these kids that live in the town with like sticks and balls, and then they can go out and play ball hockey and become a fan of the game, right? Like everyone should be able to have the chance to play hockey if they want to. So that's just kind of what I,
you know, I've played hockey once.
Oh really?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
So actually it's a really cool story. No, this is a really cool story. I didn't actually play hockey for real.
Okay.
But I played goalie in backyard hockey against Austin Matthews in Arizona. And the guy who's the actual goalie, and I don't know his name, excuse me, I apologize to hockey fans. I think the guy who's the actual goalie for that same team, which is
For Toronto?
Yeah,
Matthews. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and guess what?
Maybe?
I did this with the boys.
Yeah.
And we never put this content out because something was going on and they didn't want to release it or some shit at the timing for Austin.
Was this pre-NHL? Was this before he got
drafted
or was he already drafted?
He was in it. He was drafted.
Oh, okay.
So, and they didn't want to release this. Okay. I forgot who was there filming me. This was before Jacob. But anyways, I've never put on anything like ever, gear, all this. I put all this stuff on.
Looks so big,
man. Yeah. So here's the deal. I was playing goalie. And I was just blocking just little shots. It wasn't with a real puck. It was some practice thing or something.
Okay. Was it like a little orange one or something?
Yes.
The light ones? Yeah.
So they were like, see if you could. It was for a bit. They were like, see if you could block these.
Okay.
And so guess what? I blocked them all.
Really?
Yes, bro. And I want to release that footage
so bad. That's a like huge flex.
I know. It's a massive flex. And I'm so sad that I never got to release it. Because like literally, I'm talking about Austin Matthews and their goalie. Like I kind of dogged them both. So essentially, I've never played hockey in my life. So that means essentially I'm the greatest hockey
goalie of all time.
Exactly.
Wow. And we'll never get to know because you'll never step into the pads again.
Never. Wow. I remember they laced me up. There's something on a story way back in the day. They're like lacing up these big ass like shin guard things.
Like
what
pads?
Did you play? You know, I don't know what the fuck they're called. I didn't play any of that shit.
Yeah, goalie pads. No, I played center. I played center in hockey. So,
does that mean, was that like a fast? I don't know shit about hockey. I feel bad.
I take the faceoffs. You know, take the faceoffs. I'm forwards.
Who gets to fight? Who?
I mean, anyone gets to fight, but it's usually like the enforcers that are going to be fighting. So just guys that are bigger on the team, right? Like if you have a first line centerman, he's probably not going to ever fight because he's probably a really quick guy. He's probably a little bit smaller. He's probably your goal scorer, or like he's getting a lot of points for
you. So you don't want him to get hurt.
No. Yeah, so what will often happen is like you're going to have defense on that line that there's going to be one D that's like a little bit tougher, right? And he's going to make sure if that guy gets hit too hard, I'm in there fucking up whoever hit my guy.
So how does fighting in hockey work? Because I feel naive asking this question, I'm going to be honest, but they like the refs are like, oh, we'll let this go for a little
bit. Oh, yeah. They like, let I don't, it go. Like,
how does
they
it go?
As soon as someone hits the ice, they stop it. Okay. So it's like if someone's on the ice, you're not allowed to keep punching them. Like that's kind of hockey etiquette, right? Okay. Because their head can whiplash into the ice.
Hockey die. Is so cool that they allow people to fight.
It's so awesome. It's like they, like, I mean, there's it, like there's moments where when like playoff hockey, for example, is right now, right? And it starts to get really heated. There'll be three or four fights on the ice happening at the same time. And it's just the whole line, pretty much everyone that's out on the ice is all just fighting. The refs just standing there just like.
It's just a cool concept to me because it's like, it, you know, sports in general are such like a competitive thing to get be able to allow like people to get to that level. And it's like
fist fighting.
It's so sick.
Bare knuckles on blades. Like, dude, it's the most nuts thing.
Yeah, man. Have you ever been in a hockey fight?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like when I was younger, we would get into like fights once in a while because I didn't play like super level or high level hockey. So if anyone like is from Canada and they know what AE hockey is or A hockey, you there's so much fighting because at that point when you get to a certain age, you kind of know like,
I feel like kids are just shit. Doing
it. I'm not making it to the NHL anymore. You know what I mean?
I feel like they're doing it just to fight.
Exactly. They're like, okay, I'm going to play competitive hockey so I can just go and blow kids up. Like, it's just yeah. People are looking for someone with their head down with the puck and seeing how big of a hit.
Like, how do you know when you could hit someone in hockey? I don't, how does
they have the puck and they aren't like, you know, there's like boarding and charging. So it's like, you can't take, you can't just like, if I see you all the way down the ice, I can't just take stride after stride after stride and headhunt you and then blow you up, right? Like you're only allowed, I think like it's on like two strides kind of thing before you go and hit a guy. Or so you're supposed to kind of glide, right? Your feet aren't supposed to leave the ground and then you can like go hit him.
Okay.
And then like you can't jump and hit. You got to make sure like your elbow doesn't go up into the face. Like there's a couple different rules.
So like if someone does something,
hit them from behind if they're like standing right next to the boards because then their head's gonna.
So
like,
if someone hits you from behind, then you can swing on them. Like I'm saying. What's the?
Someone's probably gonna come in and swing on them. Probably not you because you're on the ground. Like you know what I mean?
Because I'm like, imagine me playing hockey. At what point can I fight?
Really, it's like if someone touches your goalie, you're fighting. Someone hits your goalie, right? You're fighting instantly. Like no one's allowed to touch the goalie. Not at all. And then, I mean, it's like sometimes you're just chirping a guy and you're just like, you know what? I'm fucking done with this. Let's drop the gloves. Boom. You both decide. Like the middle of the play can be going on. Drop the gloves. Grab each other.
Oh my God.
So, but that's it's sick. Usually after like a big hit or like someone like hurts your captain or there's usually like a reason for it. But a lot of times, like if there's just two enforcers on like one on each team and they're just going at it all game. Yeah. They'll eventually just drop the gloves.
So would you fight any influencer? What about Noah Beck? I think that'd be like a good fight.
Yo, that guy is so much bigger than me. He is like a big guy. Like sometimes I see videos of him like benching and I'm like, wow, all right. 245.
He's
strong.
He thinks
like
he's tough
reps.
Though. He thinks he's tough though. I don't know if he's tough. He's strong.
He's strong. He's strong.
But is he
sure.
tough? I don't know.
I don't know. He played soccer.
He also did TikTok. And dance
yeah,
on camera.
Yeah, that's true. I did that too, though. Yeah. So I gotta like.
Are you ever? Do you again. Ever like? Are you ever like? Fuck, man. Why'd I do that?
Oh, all the time, dude. All the time. All the time. Like, I mean, my podcast. It just brings up videos of me when I was like 14, which are like the worst videos on the internet. And it's just like I'm sitting there, pretty much just like calling it my 13th reason at that point.
Yeah, but it's a part of you, though. I mean, it's like.
Yeah, it's that's the other thing, right? It's like if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have the opportunities I did.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's like. I'm glad I did it. I wouldn't do anything differently, right?
Yeah. You don't regret anything?
No.
Yeah.
And like I did it with my family too. Like my sister and my brother were a big reason why I was able to blow up because they would come in all my videos. Like when I was younger, my sister was the one like helping me navigate through TikTok and Lively and she would like, we kind of used to have this like weird like hack thing we used to do where it was like I'd go live, she'd go through the top gifters because they used to give you the leaderboard of like the top spenders, yeah. Right? And she just go through on my account, follow them all, like all their videos. So they'd all come in my live stream when I had like 150 followers, and then they'd all come in and donate, right?
So I'm you were hacking a system.
Yeah, I'm sitting there sliding my sister a 15% commission off of everything that she like brings onto my live stream, right? And like we were
wait,
14,
at what age was this?
14 and 13.
Yeah, you're smart, bro. I just want to know where did that come from?
I really don't know. I mean, like I said, like my parents were like. My dad was a math guy, so he was always training me in the math. And then I just like, I think the numbers just made me kind of love money in a way, because I just loved saving money. Like, that was my favorite thing to do as a kid. I had a jar and it would be like Buffalo Sabres tickets or like Buffalo Bills tickets, Toronto, because they were cheaper than Toronto tickets.
Oh,
you know
course,
what I mean?
Of course.
So it would always be like a jar with like hockey tape around it with Sharpie written like a goal for what I wanted to save for. And I ended up filling the jar, and then like maybe I'd hit my goal and I would just kind of be like, and let's see how much higher I can build it. Yeah. Like, it was just like drove me to keep going and going.
You know, it's, you know what made me like that way with money is like, not so much that I like money because I like want to have money, but I like the, it's almost a competitive, and like, it just reminds me of a video game.
Right.
Because I play video games my whole life, like the leveling up or like the getting the inventory. Because every game I ever played, it was like get gold in your account, exactly, or whatever. And I just, yeah, like doing that.
Yeah. It kind of, it's like, it demonstrates, or it's like a representation of your work ethic, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, you're hustling, you're working to make your money. So however much you have is kind of like, yeah, it kind of equals how hard you've worked for that.
Right? Yeah. What kind of goals do you have, financially? Do you have like really big goals? Are you like, you want to be like a billionaire? Like, you wanted some crazy shit like that?
I think when I was younger, that was like, or like, I'm still young. So when I was like, yeah, 17, so I keep saying that shit, but it's like, yeah, I'm still in 20. When I was 17, I
like, think you're literally not 21 yet.
Nah. That's, yeah, crazy.
What the fuck? That's, dude,
fucking wild.
But when I was like 17, I think I was like, I need to be a billionaire. And like, I think that was an awesome mentality to have, because it like drove me. But now it's more just like, I just want to be like in a comfortable and happy position, right? Yeah. Like, so it's like, I want to make sure I can like pay off like, or like buy my parents a home. I want to make sure I can like pay my sister's student loans. I want to be able to make sure my brother can go through school and be fine. I want to be able to buy probably like a house out here and then have another place like where I'm from back, right, home, right? I would like just like have that type of lifestyle where it's like, I know I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to like be in a place where I can always put food on the table, all that shit. Like, that's all I really, yeah, need.
What do you think? What do you think made that change? Like, you originally started thinking that'd be great. And then you, it seemed like you probably got some money and then it changed a little bit, like the focus or the emphasis of why. What do you think changed that?
I think I saw people in LA who were so driven by money and that was the only thing they were driven by. It just consumes them. Right, it becomes like, it takes over part of their personality, and I think they start having their morals change because of how driven they are to like achieve their goals with money, and they'll start slowly being like, you know what, actually I can, nah, it's not that bad if I do that to this person, or it's not that bad if I like cut this person out of the deal because then I get more money. And it's like slowly they start just becoming like, I think a product of evil. Yeah, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, a piece of fucking up shit. So I think that's probably why I started caring a little bit less about,
yeah,
making all this money and just having good times with my friends and like the people that are out here.
Yeah. I mean, that's what really matters, man. Ultimately, at the end of the day, is like, yeah, even when you make all the money, and I'm sure you have tons of money, it's like you get to a point, and I know you, I'm sure you know this, you're just kind of like, all right, yeah, you can make more, you could get more, you could have more, and then you could like look around, you're like, all right, what else? It's like, who, yeah, am I enjoying this with?
Exactly. There's no point in money if you're not going to be able to enjoy it with people, right? Like, yeah, that's, money brings you happiness when you spend money on people you love.
Yeah, right? That's a fact, man. So how'd you meet Dave Portnoy?
Yeah, it was because, you know who Lil Huddy is?
I've seen him. Okay. I don't know him.
Know him, but like, you, yeah, know, like of, yeah, him or whatnot.
Sadly, no. No, I didn't. Not sadly, sorry. No disrespect. I've seen the name. Someone's like, this is a popular. I was like, what the fuck?
But yeah, he's pretty big on TikTok.
He's really popular.
Yeah, yeah. Popping. I made a diss track on him. He tried to get with one of my ex-girlfriends. Like, he was like my homie. And then like, I was dating a girl at the time, Nessa Barrett. And he was like going for her at an event. And I was like, yo, that's kind of fucked up. We were like boys. We just went on tour together, all that. So then I was like, oh, I'm going to make a diss track on him.
Maybe you should fight him.
Yeah. I think we already tried to do that. Like when the social media influencer thing was like popping for boxing, but he didn't want to fight.
You know, that kid didn't want to fight anyone. Yeah, no way.
No. Damn. Not one person. But yeah, so I made a diss track on him and stuff.
All right, guys. Quick interruption. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a mobile therapy platform where you don't have to go and like talk to someone in person. I've been to therapy tons of times. It's like fucking changed my life drastically. It always helps to have someone to talk to that is like unbiased of your actual like situation that's going on. And now this is a simple way for you to get engaged with a therapist on your own time at your own accord, so you don't feel like you have to like
show up somewhere every day at like fucking 4 p.m. or twice a week at 4 p.m., whatever it is, and you got traffic. It's through the phone. It's through Zoom calls. And join over 2 million people who have used this platform successfully. All right, I invite you guys to check it out. Go to betterhelp.com/rawtalk with the link right there. Again, that's betterhelp.com/rawtalk. You guys get a 10% off your first month with the link right there. Again, that's betterhelp.com/rawtalk. And yeah, let's get back into this podcast.
How you met Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I was going. That's where I was going. I have ADHD, so that shit gets fucked sometimes. Made the diss track. It went pretty viral and was going all over like Twitter. It was trending on Twitter. Dave saw it on his feed and was tweeted out, "Why the fuck are these wiggle dickers showing up on my feed?" Right?
So I remember seeing some of this too.
Yeah, yeah. So then I was like, yo, that's fucking sick. Like the head of Barstool is like seeing my stuff. So we reached out to him, ended up getting on an Instagram live together where we pretty much did like almost like a mini BFFs podcast without even having the idea at the time. But I just explained to him all the stuff, all the drama in the social media world. Yeah. And he was like giving his reaction and talking about it. And the live stream was like, did really, really well. I think we had like 50, 70,000 viewers on the Instagram live.
Oh shit.
Yeah, like fucking went crazy.
What the fuck? Was and he on his account or Barstool?
It was on my account and then he was on his account and I guested him in, right?
Okay.
And so like notifications are sent out to both parties and people were all like, why the fuck is Dave Portnoy live with Josh Richards, right?
Yeah.
Like no one expected to see that. So got a really good reaction. And then after we got on a call with him and we were just saying to him, this worked really well. Would you want to start doing something together? And he was like, yeah. And that's when we came up with the idea of just continuing to talk about drama and making a podcast.
Yeah. And now you have another one, a different podcast. It's just you, right? T-Talk?
T-Talk? No, that's not really like a pod. It's just kind of like, it's a YouTube series I've had since I started Sway. Or since we started Sway. It was back, yeah. As soon as I moved to LA, was trying to think of what a series could be on my YouTube because then I wouldn't need to do like 3 vlogs a week. I could easily just do a sit-down video, bang it out in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And yeah, landed on T-Talk. I was like, people on social media take drama way too fucking seriously. All of this doesn't matter. And everyone in the world does what people get canceled for on social media. You know what I mean? Like every single human being is doing that shit.
Yeah.
Like off camera. That isn't a social media influencer. So, I was like, let's bring light to the situation. Let's make fun of it. So all the boys would sit down on the couch, talk about the drama, just make fun of people. And
yeah, it is interesting how like the internet is a place where, like for example, Dave got a bunch of shit for this like some shit with some girl and that. What was that shit about?
So essentially, a girl tried to make these fake claims on Dave, just saying like it was something to do with being rough at sex or something like that. And then Dave goes through and like has all the DMs with the girl still hitting him up after she came to his house, all of that. And just kind of was like, nah, it's just girls trying to like take money from me. Here you go.
Yeah.
And he went and battled it. And
it seems to be a very common thing on the internet where like, whether it's coming from that side, like, you know, the opposite sex or like someone else on the internet, like using something to try to tear someone else down to almost like either get something for themselves, like financially or like social following wise. Have you dealt with anything like that personally?
I've been pretty like in the clear with people trying to I guess out me for for like money or acclaim or anything like
Dave
that.
Beats up girls or something.
Yeah.
No, I can't. It's like, no, it's crazy when I think about it. I saw the clips and I'm like, you know, I saw him talking to the boys about it and it's like it's just really common for people to just I don't know, it's like,
well, I mean, when you see someone like Dave Portnoy too, that's super successful, right? And he also has that polarizing kind of image. You think to yourself, it's like, oh, this is going to be an easy grab. Like,
yeah,
it's just like they think they're going to be able to go and make claim, get paid a bunch of money to shut up, and then they'll get away with it. But Dave does not fuck with that shit. He will fight it to the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like he said in the video, he was like, my lawyers are telling me not to do this, but I always just am an upfront guy, so I'm going to continue to be an upfront guy. And he made a whole video about it.
It's just crazy, man. We just live in it just gets crazier and crazier with the internet. I just find it such a...
It's because people believe the first headline they see too, right? It's who's going to start the narrative. Once you've started the narrative, you can't do much to erase it.
Yeah. That's the thing. And that's the frustrating part is because I'll find myself in certain situations where it's like, man, I'd love to speak directly about something that was said, whatever about me or something that I've seen. And I'm like, it's almost like fighting fire with fire is where you just make the fire bigger. And at the same time, no matter what you say next, it's like can already be spun. And at the same time, just the way the internet works, let's say X amount of people saw this, even if I said this, only X amount of those people are going to see this and they still run with the original narrative.
Exactly.
And it's just, it's a frustrating thing because
super frustrating.
Like 99% of the time, you never get the whole story. You just get the side and you make a judgment and it's just, it's fucked because like specific things like this, like someone like Dave is like, you're now going to affect that person's reputation negatively.
Life.
Yeah. And it's like, you should be like fucking, I don't know.
You should be hurt. Yeah, exactly.
I should be able to hurt someone for that.
It's like, if you're going to damage someone's career, then, and it was all a lie, they should have to somehow pay like that same consequence.
Yeah.
You know? Or worse, honestly.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, I feel like some people just owe me some equity, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You should just go really beat it out of them.
I feel owed.
Yeah, yeah. You should start just like being like company's kind of security guard, and just every time you need to beat someone's ass, it's just like, yo, give me 0.1% equity.
Yeah, I'm just going to be an enforcer.
Yeah.
An equity enforcer.
Yeah, an equity enforcer.
Be like, dude, you guys really fucked me for a little bit? Like, I'm coming for that.
Uh-huh.
But, so you haven't dealt with anything personally like really damning like that?
I've had situations in the beginning of social media where people have taken advantage of me like money-wise or hidden stuff from me or told me representation that's been saying things like, this is a $10,000 deal. Really, it was $15,000. They took $5,000 off the top. Then also would commission me the 20% from the $10,000.
Yeah.
So then it's like I'm left with
remember I said get those receipts?
Yeah, I'm left with $8,000 and they've taken $7,000. So instead of it being a 80-20 split, it's now become like a 60-40 split, right?
Yeah.
Which is like stupid. So just things like that I figured out. Just people kind of taking advantage of a kid that has money.
It's fucking crazy, man. It's like, I don't know what it is. It just bothers me because it's people just because they think you don't know better.
Yeah.
And you're young or maybe you're inexperienced at the game. I mean, just this happens in general with a lot of social media influencers. Like I started working and managing and helping like a lot of people in this industry, specifically like the fitness industry.
Yep.
And you realize like most companies or most people reach out and they'll just like bottom barrel you with like offers and like we'll try to give you, I'll give you some t-shirts or like some product and like post us 1,000 times. Like there's a company that reached out and like that trying to work with like these two girls that I'm managing and was literally like, this is what you get. It was like, you have to do this many shoots. You have to do this many posts. And then it was like, you get to put our tag in your bio. Basically, that's all they got from a company. It's like, what kind of, they're like, imagine this. I can't
that's,
say
that's
the company.
Worst deal I've ever heard in my life.
No, it's
yeah,
there's
like saying to post like multiple things, like over 12 like, for dog shit.
Yeah, no, not like terrible, like the craziest shit. And then, It's just an interesting industry because
no free brand deals. Fuck you, pay me.
No, never. But it's also just like let me take the advantage of people who, you know, when people are first starting out, they just don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep,
so
yep. They go for like after the micro influencer and try to be like, oh, they don't have experience yet. They don't have a representation.
Exactly.
Let's go take advantage of this.
Yeah, because they run it up until like, oh, the person finally realizes it. You know.
Yeah. They keep waiting and waiting as you're growing and growing. And they're like, oh, more free clout.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
I have a question.
So, yeah, go ahead.
No, I had a question because you're 20 years old. Mm-hmm. So how hard was it or did you go through any trouble, which I could only imagine, you being a business person going up to people who are 30, 40, like, and them to take you seriously? Like, how long did it take to build that up?
That's
from,
a good question.
TikToker to now?
Yeah, definitely took a while in each space. I think that's what really happened. So when I was starting to angel invest or go into the venture capitalist space, it wasn't the first day or second day or third day or fourth or fifth or sixth when people started thinking, okay, this kid has like a smart head on his shoulders. It was probably 2 months into it when I'd started to talk to probably over 50 different angel investors. And then they started talking to other investors and they were like, have you talked to this Josh Richards kid? Oh yeah. He seemed like a pretty good guy. Like he seemed like he knew what he was doing. And then I would be sending them, you know, different deals that came through my way. They'd be sending them deals that came through their way. So then we started communicating with them. They were like, oh, he's actually brought me this really, really cool company. And they're showing other investors that. So it was kind of just like for each space, it took a little bit of time for the TV and film space. It was talking to different heads of productions, to different casting directors, to people like Thomas Tall or Mary Perrin or Joe Feldheimer, or any of these people that I could kind of get in contact with. And as I was talking to them more and more and more, they started talking to more and more people about me. So I think it's just kind of like that. Like it's a small world in all those little entertainment spaces. And once you're able to really get in there and get a couple people believing in you, or that will go to bat for you, that's when they start taking you seriously.
Yeah. How long had you wanted to work with Mark Wahlberg? Because I know you do
whole life. Yeah. Like, grew up loving Mark Wahlberg, just all his movies. And I also kind of looked at his career in a way as kind of like a back in the day version of the modern day career that I'm trying to pursue. He started off Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, right? Yeah, oh yeah. He was kind of like one hit wonder. And I feel like that's really equivalent to TikTok stars these days, sure. Right? They blow up really quickly. All these girls love them. It's like a lust thing.
Yeah.
And then he went
Calvin
and did
Klein
the
shoot.
Calvin Klein shoot, bang. Right? He went and did all that. And then after that, he starts to go into movies. And then from the movies, he starts to really become I would say someone that was looked at very seriously in the space. And then he started to become an entrepreneur as well, right? So the order for me is a little bit different, where I did the social media, kind of the one-hit wonder thing, went into the entrepreneurship, and then now with the production company, I really want to get into producing and acting myself. So it's kind of following in the footsteps of Mark Wahlberg a lot. So to be able to get his stamp of approval and him believe in me was probably the coolest thing that's ever happened in my life.
Yeah. That's amazing, man.
Thank you.
You said is so true. Like, he definitely, he had that pop up but he was able to sustain it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that's, I think it's just one of the harder things to be able to have, especially nowadays, right? I mean, then it probably was like even 10 times harder because there wasn't all these like
added platforms too, right?
That you could like leverage.
Yeah.
So he had to really be in at least the network with people that he can make it work. Because on social, I mean, now it's like you can continue to have your audience and, you know, you can continue to leverage that. He just did it at a time where it didn't even like all that shit didn't even exist.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You really just had to make a big song or get in a movie, right? Like, get casted, go to New York, go to LA, like live the life of a starving actor for years, usually. Fucking right.
Crazy shit, man.
Totally different world.
So what's it like with girls? Because since you're like young, successful, you know, you got like, you know, perceived all the money, and then, you know, they can get some clout from you. Mm. What is it? What's it like now? And who's on the? Is there anyone special right now?
I mean,
yeah, I put you on the spot. My bad. Sorry. Maybe I shouldn't say that because like I hate when people ask me that fucking question.
I mean, like, you know, the girl shit. Going good. Let's
going
just
good.
Say that. Yeah. It's been like a good past few months, I guess. But no, there's this one girl I was talking to at Stagecoach. She was pretty cool.
Oh, she's pretty cool.
Yeah. She's like a D1 basketball player too.
Really?
Yeah. Which what? Is like
she your height?
No, she's shorter than me still. So that's like, you know.
So she's a point guard. So now we know she's a point guard, D1.
And like, you know, like I was just like sitting, I was watching like the Memphis Golden State game, and then I was like talking about Ja Morant, just like I was like, this kid is like insane. This is his second game, like plus 45 points. He's the third person ever to do it, like at the age 22 or younger. And then she's stepping in and dropping stats. And I was just like,
you're like, oh wait. You like that.
That's whoa.
How
what's
you know
going
that?
On here? But so, she was cool.
Yeah. it's so funny to me. But I feel like Is it hard for you to like balance everything? Like, is it hard for you to balance the work, the direction you want to go in, the women, all this stuff? Like, do you find yourself having a hard time trying to balance it all?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that's like, that's why I've had like girl problems before or whatever, just because I am gotten so wrapped into my work or like just been so busy and stuff. And then they're like, I want to hang out. And I'm just like, oh, I can't. I'm going to a dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
not
then,
enough time.
Yeah, it's just like I wouldn't like be there enough, I guess. So I think that there's definitely some of it where it's like right now I feel like I'm young, so maybe it's like not the smartest idea to get into a relationship because I'm doing all this shit. But work definitely kind of like comes in and out.
Yeah, I mean, it's about finding someone that understands what you're doing.
That's the thing like too, right? They got to be someone that like can understand. It's like, yeah, let's go to work for the day and then it's like you come back and hang out at nighttime.
Yeah, but
what other like 20-year-old has the same mindset as this kid? Like, what the fuck?
I did.
Like,
I didn't have as much going on in my life with social.
No,
but
like
I did.
That's a lot. Yeah. Like,
I just feel like
right now it's crazy.
Also, like, I feel like I look at good relationships. Like, I look at my parents' relationship and everything, and they used to be like, the key to our relationship is like we don't see each other all day, right? Like, we both go to work. We get up. My mom gets up at like 5 a.m. She'd go work out. Yeah. My dad gets up at 6. He'd go hit the gym and then go to a school and teach. And my mom would be going to do her speech pathologist stuff. And it's like they get home at 5. 6 o'clock at the end of the day, that's when they finally see each other, right? And then they get to talk about their day together. They get to go through the stuff that happened. They get to cook dinner together, eat together, then like put us to bed when we were kids, and then they go to bed themselves, right? It's like, but you don't see each other for that 12 hours. Like, I feel like this generation, like, people are moving in with each other when they're like 17.
Yeah, I mean, you need the separation. You need to have something that you're like doing and focus on. I mean,
well, it's good to miss them too, right? Like, if you're with them all the time, you're never going to miss them, which means like you're going to get annoyed at them. There's going to be bickering and shit, and it's like,
You spend all day with them. It's like 100%. Someone's like, you know, or if there's like the power dynamic is like, you have everything going on and the other person doesn't have much going on.
They're just kind of like bumming around your house.
Yeah, this is social media. This doesn't matter regardless, just in life. It's just if you have people who are like, you know, living through you in a sense, because like they don't have their own passion, their own purpose, their own focus, that kind of shit never almost lasts. Because like then you feel like you have to balance someone else's like time with the thing that you're really trying to chase. And then the person will never understand that you have to do all these things because they don't have the things that they need to do. And that's a real like, that's a tough thing for a lot of people. I think it's important to like explain this kind of shit though, because like there's probably a lot of people in relationships out there that are in relationships in which like either they're the one who is like walking this road and like they have all these goals, and then they have someone who's like, why are you not come spending more time with me? Or flip flop, where like someone else is doing that and they're like, why are you not come, like, versus, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So 100%
you're balancing this, and you balance it pretty well. Do you ever be like, do you ever think like about your future? Like if you're going to, I mean, you're so young though too. It's almost like you can't, you could fuck it up, but we could all fuck it up, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you ever worry like that you're going to fuck things up? Like not just relationships, just in general.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think there's definitely been times where I've been like scared or just like have thought like, man, if I don't know, what would happen if social media ends up drying up? What would happen if like, a company fails? So I've had those thoughts before, but I feel like it's just, there's no point in really like letting that eat me up, right? Because if it's gonna happen, it's gonna fucking happen.
Yeah,
like might as well just keep trying to crush and crush and crush until it happens.
Yeah, it's a good mindset.
Yeah, it's just like, hey guy, shit happens.
Yeah. What? So let me ask you a question now. Back to your podcast. Who's your favorite guest that you've ever had?
Ooh.
And I know it's not Tana, because Tana doesn't show up to fucking podcasts half the time.
Hard to be the favorite guest when you never fucking come.
Yeah. Fuck you, Tana, by the way. Answer my fucking text.
She did. And then she said like yes, and then like,
bro,
let it slide for like 3 weeks.
I said this on one of, I think, it was with Jeff, and she was like, oh my God, she this bullshit text. I'm not going to reiterate it again because they saw it. But just major flake, man.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like,
Dave went off on her. I don't know if you saw that clip, but he went fucking off on her. It was crazy. It was like a minute and 30 seconds of him just like, it was actually longer than that. That's just what we like cut it down to.
Yeah.
But it was like a 15 minute rant of like me and Brianna just sitting there like,
oh okay. God, Jesus. You're like, who hurt you?
We're like, God damn, bro, this cutthroat shit.
Who hurt you, Dave?
But Dave was going crazy. I would say, I mean, when we were in Miami, I guess this isn't like one guest. It would just be like, I would say like a day of filming the podcast, that was my favorite. But when we had on like Austin McBroom, Jake Paul, Logan Paul all in the same day, and they were coming in one after another, that was mayhem. Just because like we had Jake slashing Austin McBroom's Lambo's tires after the podcast. Like Jake walked out, Austin walked in. They started beaking at each other. Yeah. Okay. They started beaking at each other, going back and forth, like saying how they were going to fight each other and shit. And then eventually it got broken up. Me and Dave are just like standing there just looking at each other like, hey, yo. And then Dave's like, can you guys like take this off my front lawn maybe? Like just do it on the street or something. So eventually they leave. Austin leaves. Jake comes in to do the pod. And Austin's group drives like just down the street. And they're like, why the fuck do we have no tire pressure right now? They go out and check, and he's slashed the tires on like the back of the Lambo's tires. So then it was just
like Jake himself did that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. I'm assuming maybe he got like one of his security guards to do it or something. But it was their group. And then I would just say, that day was just kind of like, what the fuck is going on? You know what I mean? So it was a fun day.
Did you ever think that you like as you were growing up, I mean obviously you're still a kid, like we talked about, but did you ever think that you'd be doing all this stuff? I mean, obviously you must have been doing
really,
it.
Like, in a really weird way.
Like, before you like, popped off.
Yeah, I mean, like, since I was, like, as long as I can remember, honestly, like, I used to, like, pray or meditate, whatever you want to call it, before I would go to bed every night. And
well, what
I,
do you call it?
I mean, like, I would call it praying. Okay. I'd call it praying. Yeah. I would, like, pray to God and just be like, yo, the name Josh Richards is going to be known. Like, as long as I can remember. I mean, 5 years old. And, like, when I was, you know, 5-4 years old, I thought I was going to be Ben 10. Right, and that's why my name is going to be known. I thought I was going to be a fucking superhero. I thought I was going to be like, I actually used to fall asleep with my wrist above my blanket, right? Because I was like, yo, that those little mini aliens, they're coming and working on this shit in the middle of the night. I know it for a fact. So it was like, it started off just being like, I'm going to be a superhero. My name's going to be known. And then it was like, all right, I'm going to be an NHL superstar. My name's going to be known, right? Always, though, Josh Richards, that name's going to be known. That name's going to be known. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to become, like, after the hockey, I knew kind of like, okay, I'm probably not going to be an NHL player anymore. It went into, all right, my name's going to be known for business. Like, I'm going to be a huge business in Canada with, like, either involving, like, sports, hockey somehow. I'm going to figure it out. And then I found social media, and it was like, oh, shit, this makes sense. I've always wanted my name to be known. I've always wanted Josh Richards to be out there. I love creating. I was always the kid that was kind of the class clown in class, like always looking for that reaction from people. It like gave me that kind of like satisfaction when I saw other people laughing. So from that point on, when I was 14 and I found social media, it was just like, I just knew that was what I was meant to do.
Yeah.
Like I knew that was my calling kind of thing.
So what I find really interesting, two things. First off, my name's going to be known, this concept, like what made you think like that though? Like what made you want that to be reality? And I'm asking this because I know a lot of people just, I would say everyone, not necessarily wants to be some famous or rich person, but I feel like most people in the world want to leave some sort of legacy behind.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was really because like you said, I wanted to be able to leave some legacy of Josh Richards behind. Like I lived in a small town and I saw so many people that go through and like, no diss on it, obviously, but they go through kind of their regular life in a way of like working a 9-to-5. Like they went to college, they acquired student debt. They went and paid off that debt after 20 years. They had kids. They got the white picket fence house. They got a dog. They started their family. It's like, everyone is living the same pattern of a lifestyle. And I just looked at that and I was like, I want to break out of that. Like, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing. I don't want to do what people are expecting me to do or telling me to do, right? That's not what's fun to me. So I kind of just wanted to be different, like break out of it. Like I loved my parents and loved how hard they worked to support and like make sure there's food on the table, make sure we're playing sports, make sure we had good Christmases, all of that. But I was like, I can't be a teacher.
Okay. This is so interesting. I talked to Brian Callen. Brian Callen said the same exact thing. He's a comedian. He's like 50 plus years old. Mm. Every single successful, and this was like 2 days ago, every single successful person that I've ever met felt the same exact way. And, really? But then yes, the thing you said, the same thing I said, I felt the same way where, you know, I grew up in my town and it's no disrespect for the people living that life.
Not at all.
Living in that town and like growing up and then working in that town, like where I came from. But I remember thinking very, very young, being like, looking at it and being like, I don't want this to be my life.
No.
And every single successful person that I've ever met at every like crazy level of success literally says the same shit. Like Steve, my buddy Steve will do it. Same thing. He's like, I just felt like in something inside me, like it needed to be different.
Yeah.
Like I wanted there to be more. And I really want this to be like, I just really want this to be heard that it, there's two things now. It is as simple as like every person listening could think like, damn, I know what that feels like, right? I feel that. The difference is, and you said it about yourself, and I know this for all the people who I'm even talking about or even trying to reference in my mind about actually achieving success, is that you said, okay, I wanted to do NHL and that was your goal and that was your dream. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, maybe I'm not cut out for that. And then you went to this and then you go, okay, maybe this is it. This is not it. And then you found social media. Okay, now it's starting to make sense. The key here is like, if you feel that in the person listening, it might not be the first thing. And normally it's not the first thing. But as long as you keep fucking going and hold on to that belief, you can find it. And you 100%,
did it. 100% you will find it. Like, I think that's the coolest part about like wanting to find what you love or like doing what you love is like, you're never going to find it right off the bat. You're going to have this story of like, I had to overcome this, or I had to go through this work for 2 years to really find what I loved, right? It's like you're kind of building your own story arc in a way of like how you're going to achieve that happiness. So I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. It's just, I like hearing you talk about it, even at such a young age, is just, it's kind of just mind fucking with me, because every person, man, I'm not playing when I say this, every person I know successful that I have these conversations with and I ask them these similar questions, all say the same thing.
Yeah, it's just like a feeling you need to get out. You know what I mean? Like you got to get out of that town. You got to break out of there.
Yeah, and I feel like most people have that feeling where it's like, I don't want to have this normal thing, but then people start to become complacent and they go like, well, like, you know, my mom thinks this or my dad thinks that. So like, you know, that's kind of hard. Or maybe they tried the first thing and then it kind of knocked them down. They're like, all right, well, that didn't work, so I'll just go back to this. Instead of being like, okay, that didn't work, let me try something else. Let me try something else. And I think that's like you said, building your story. And like, the truth is, with all successful people, like the reason why even I could sit here and talk about things in this sense is because I've gone through so many different levels and so many different points in my life where I got fucked over, or I fucked myself over, or I made a mistake. And it's all just about trying to come back to that original feeling where I'm like, I want more in my life. I want more from myself. Mm. I expect more from myself. And like I said, the people who are truly successful and always find it are the people who just fucking keep going.
Yeah. I mean, you're never going to, if you let your failures like hold you down, you're never going to make it at really anything, right? Yeah. Like it's learning from your mistakes. No one doesn't make a fucking mistake, right? And so learning from your mistakes is how you're going to continue to grow. Yeah. And how you're going to continue to become a stronger and better person. I mean, it's people shouldn't judge people on how they fall. They should judge them on how they pick themselves back up.
Right? Yeah, that's a fact. Why do you think it's so easy, especially nowadays on the internet, to just judge someone, you know, without any real understanding? And like, also, I think people on the internet tend to like hold people into positions like, you know, like I joke jokingly about you being a TikToker, like even though you've done so much more now, and you're so much more than just a TikToker, people should be like, oh, it's that fucking TikTok kid, right? Which is why I started this whole podcast with that dumb joke anyway.
Yeah.
So do you ever feel like, you know, I don't know, like unjustly, like this unwarranted, trying to pigeonhole you into a thing? Like, do you ever think about that, or does it ever frustrate you?
I mean, yeah, I guess there's been times where it's like, it's kind of annoying or whatever. If people like are walking down the street and they're like, oh, TikToker, right? Because it's just like you hear it all the time. But at the same time,
dudes really yell that at you?
Yeah, just all the time. They're just like, oh, TikToker. But I mean, like, it's gotten so much better now because the Barstool shit. Yeah. Like, with Barstool now, there's a bunch of guys that are just like, yo, what's up, man? Like, I love your podcast.
Yeah.
So that's sick. Like, that was the coolest thing to me when I started actually having like a male demographic bit. It was just, yeah, it was definitely rewarding. But it's annoying, but at the same time, it's like, I've kind of just gotten used to it. Like, what am I going to do? I have TikTok. I do TikTok. People are going to call me a TikToker, right? So it's kind of the same as when I feel like an actor is starting off on Nickelodeon or Disney, right? And then they slowly start eventually getting to those more serious roles. People still remember them as like, oh, remember that, like when they did that cute, like Zendaya and Shake It Up. Like, oh, remember like her on Disney, right? So it's like, sure, she might get a little like like poke fun, but like she's also fucking Zendaya, so she's making millions, right? So who gives a fuck at the end of the day? So that's just kind of like my mentality. It's like, yeah, sure, you can call me a TikToker and shit, but it's like, I'm doing all right.
So you instead of making it like, okay, this you feeling attacked or whatever, you focus on the positives that are coming out of it.
Yeah, it's like if I wasn't a TikToker, if I wasn't getting that hate, I also wouldn't be getting all the love I get, right? I wouldn't have all the opportunities I have. So yeah, call me a TikToker, run it up.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's crazy. How many times I've had conversations with people who are crushing it. It's always like the same lines. And I just kind of want to, I know I made that point earlier, but I just think it's so important for the people listening it's always along the same lines of, you know, like you said, you did something, you know, whether or not it's exactly what you wanted to do or not, people could attack you, hate you, but you're able to keep going towards where you really want to go.
Yeah.
And I just saying, I'm not trying to be like to make this about some inspiring shit or not, but I just think it's important for people to hear the fact that you, like, no matter what you do, no matter like how you do it, people are going to shit on you. And it's just a matter of being like, fuck it and keep going and trying to figure it out. Even for yourself, where you go, okay, I'm getting shit on. And then, you know, let's say the next thing you want to do that you're uncertain of, it's like it almost just doesn't matter what someone else is going to say or what someone else thinks about you, what you want to do. You just have to fucking do it.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing too is like you don't need to be famous to have haters, right? Everyone has them in their life. If it's that shitty fucking boss at your like summer job that's like holding you back, or if it's that some kid in your classroom that like puts you down, or if it's like a bully, like anyone in this world can pick out someone that is a hater, right? And is kind of trying to hold them back or trying to tear them down. So you got to learn to get over that thing, those things. That's just life, like in a big sense, right? You got to learn to be able to overcome that. And once you do, you're going to realize that you are unstoppable. Like it's kind of that feeling like, yo, I can do whatever I want now. I overcame this. So I'm going to overcome the next guy. I'm going to overcome the next person that's trying to hold me back.
Yeah. I just think it's important. Like, and I'm glad you said that, whether it's like on social media or celebrity or whatever, I just think it's important for people like individually to know that it's going to happen in your own circle of 3 people, 5 people, 10 people that like, don't let it stop you from doing what you really actually give a fuck about.
Yeah, it could be a friend that's jealous of you, right? It could be someone that cares about you. I mean, that's the thing. I think people think like when we talk about like haters or like, you know, I dealt with this with social media, they think, oh, well, only celebrities are going to have that. It's like, nah, everybody has haters, no matter how, like if you have 3 followers, if you don't even have a fucking Instagram, you're going to have probably people that are hating on you in your life.
For sure. For sure. For sure. I mean, and that's so important. Like I think too, like people, you know, you see these people on the internet that you might look up to or you call celebrities or this and that, whatever, which is such a crazy thing now because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's niche audiences. But like you look at people and you're like, yeah, okay, they're not the only people with haters. I guarantee these motherfuckers are in your life as well. It's just coming from a different perspective. But I guess what do you think is like the number one thing you've learned through your successes on social media? And how could you apply that to like, you know, someone listening?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing I've learned is you don't need 1 million friends. You don't. You need 4 friends, 3 friends, 2 friends. That's all you need. You need a tight circle, because when you have a family like that, when you have people around you that are always bringing you up, that care about you and you care about them, that is what I believe happiness is. Like when you are surrounded by all the people you love, it don't really matter what you're doing anymore. It's like you've achieved everything you've wanted. You have the people you want to see every single day around you. So I just think when you have too many people in your life, you're going to get too many people in your ear. You're going to start like feeling bad about things you're doing. You're going to have people telling you should be doing this, and then your other friend telling you should be doing that. People using you, people taking advantage of you. And I know maybe it's a little bit different because we live in a little bit of like a cutthroat society in LA and like where people do just use each other. But that's been the biggest thing for me, and like the key to me being, I think, at peace of mind is like I have my 2 boys that I live with, like Anthony and Gavin.
Yeah.
And it's like those are my fucking dogs. That's like, that was it for probably like a good 8 months of this year. And then like I started hanging out with a couple of my other friends like more often, like Bryce or Cooper, but those two are really like my guys. And that's like it. I just think it's so important to just have that core.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too, because if we even talk about success and seeing success in this sense, like how you talk about having those guys, it's crazy because it, like that is the core of it, right? Like, you know, if it's not like when you get there, then you need those people, right? Mm. It's almost like if you could find those people, and which is very hard to find, right? Who are the people who are really riding with you from like the beginning?
Yep.
But if you could find those people, and like no matter how far you go or how far you grow, like they're always kind of solid. That's like the base, you know, like there's some people in my life who's worked with me that, you know, without them, I wouldn't be where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Like straight up. I mean, I have like people who are in my circle that have been with me from like pretty much the beginning of me trying to create all this stuff. And I think it's just important to say that to the person listening, it's not like you get there, you get to that like fucking, you know, Josh Richards level or like whatever entrepreneur level you're trying to get to. And then you try to have that. It's almost like you can try to create that now with where whoever you have and try to like refine your circle, because that's what's going to help you get there too.
Oh, 100%. I mean, my boy Gavin, I've known since I was 9 years old. Like I met, he moved to my town, came into my school, and like first day I met him, I was like, yo, you want to be on my soccer team at recess? You know what I mean? So it's like I've been boys with that kid since we were youngins. So it's like I know he's caring about me. I know he's supporting what I'm doing, because we've done that with each other since that day when we first met. Like our families are best friends. We do Christmas together and Christmas Eve, right? Yeah. So it's like you got to have those people around you that are going to be happy for your success. Because there's a lot of people that like say they're friends and they're friends with you and stuff, but they don't want to see you succeed. They want to see you stay their friend and then they succeed and you're there for them. They don't necessarily want to be there for you.
Fucking
they want
crazy.
To be friends when it's convenient for them.
Yeah.
So
that's a thing in this industry I realize. I mean, even a lot of people that I know is like, it's always like, what could I get from you and who's benefiting me now? And then if you're not benefiting them, then they're like kind of not trying to help you.
Yeah.
Like, bro, there's so much shit I wish I could really say about motherfuckers in this industry.
Right? Yeah.
But it's like, it's, you know, I don't want to because I don't like hurting feelings and shit.
Yeah.
But man, it is really, that's probably one of the toughest things when it comes to this industry specifically. Like, and people who, if you want to do this, fully support you trying to do this, but understand that you are probably getting one of the most toxic industries possible, which obviously 100%. Is just entertainment. Because yeah, people really will use and abuse you for their own benefit.
Oh yeah. It was such a like mind fuck or just like a culture shock for me when I moved from my town to here, because when you're from a small town, it's like all you really got is your word, right?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like what you have to represent who you are as a person or what your morals are. So then when you come out to one of these big ass cities where people just lie all the time.
Oh my God.
I was kind of like, I was a 17-year-old young kid coming out here, taking people's word for things. Cause I was like, I know I'm telling the truth. So I'm going to expect them to be telling the truth. They're telling me they're going to do this deal with me. So I'm going to expect they're going to do it how they say they are.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, 10% was actually taken off or blah, this, that. Oh, sorry. When we look through the deal. So it's just like, yeah, there's just, yeah. It's just culture shock, mind fuck.
Are there any any of the Sway Boys that fucked you over that we have to beat up?
I mean, like, I guess there was one that like fucked my girlfriend or whatever. Mm. Yeah, that was tough, and we were all like living together.
Like actually fucked. Like this
they started
it wasn't
dating.
Just drama on
they
the
started
internet?
Like dating after.
Like
for real. I haven't talked to the kid since.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I
just kind of like cut people out though. If they're gonna fuck with me, it's just like, oh, peace.
This is how the internet works, right? Part of me was like, oh, that's just for the internet.
I know. I think people think that a lot. A lot of people are just like, probably just an internet thing. But yeah, no, I don't really like do that for social media. I feel like I just like will show like real shit that happens in my life, and then people are like, that's gotta be fake.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was like a year and a half ago, so it's like it's not like it's like a sensitive subject that like hurts me or anything anymore. But
yeah.
It was just like a shitty thing that happened. Wish it didn't.
And it's young.
It's young, dumb kids too, right? Like we're all, at the time, I think we were probably 18 and maybe like 19. But so it was like, yeah, a year and a half ago. So probably like 18. And it was 6, 7, 18-year-olds all living in a house together. Like it's like you're destined for something bad to happen.
Yeah, it's not like you were dating this girl for 8 years or something.
No, I was like dating her for like a year or something.
Because
like
if you were dating her for 8 years and like you might have to kill that kid.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just
wow,
like
right? That's like a straight up like yeah.
It's like that's super that's really disrespectful. Aggressive.
Well, that's almost like 8 years. That's almost like a marriage, man.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, I know.
Why did you like?
Yeah, why 8 years?
Why 8 years?
You specifically said 8 years.
Yeah, 8 years was such a specific number.
Yes,
like I was gonna say like. You know what? Like a year with someone is like a pretty long time to me.
But he's like,
so
he said 2 years.
8 years. That's half my life, man.
Yeah.
What are you? What?
Yo, who hurt you?
Who had you for 8 years and then fucked you over?
No one. No, it didn't fuck me over. I fucked myself over. I dated a girl for 8 years. I fucked myself over.
Because you dated her for too long or just?
No. I mean, that's built into it. But it was a simple thing. Like, you know, when I got into the relationship, I was young and dumb, you know. No, I guess not so much like yourself, but yeah, I was young and dumb and I made mistakes moving into it.
Okay.
And
like then, at the start of the relationship.
Yeah, because
okay,
I was
that.
Hurt prior, so I get
yeah,
into that
yeah.
relationship.
No, I totally
and
I
then
totally understand.
Yeah, I stayed in it for too long because, you know, I probably knew at some point I shouldn't, but I wanted it and I like lived for that what
well,
it could
it's like
be.
Comfortability too, right? When you're in a relationship, like you just are like, oh, I don't want to leave, this is dope. Man, free sex, right? Whoop.
Yeah, it was yeah, oh yeah. I was like, you know, that was, I didn't try, I'm not trying to make this about me and my past, you know, transgressions or relationships, but no, I learned a lot from obviously that situation.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for it regardless. But yeah, no, I was just, it would have been different if someone fucked you over and it was like a lot longer. And this, no one fucked me over in that sense. It was,
okay,
it was my own personal, like, I fucked that up.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in any relationships where you're like, damn, I fucked that up?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I definitely think there's been like moments in relationships where I've been like, dude, that was not cool. Or like, or it's just like you said, like starting a relationship poorly, right? Like,
yeah,
like, yeah, just things, situations like that, I would say.
I love it. It's so funny because you answer it the same way I'd answer because I don't want to get too deep.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to get like specific or nothing. But yeah, definitely have been a douchebag before.
Yeah, yeah. It's common.
Well, you're a child. It makes sense.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Super
you're
common.
20. Like
20. But 20, when you're 21, though, then you're not a child anymore. You're a grown-ass
I know. Man. Then I'm going to have to not be. I'll have to wear, like, a suntie or something.
Yeah,
to
everywhere you go, dude.
Yeah, once you're 21, you have a briefcase with you all the time.
Yeah.
Then it's, like walk different. Around.
Yeah, right.
18, you know, it's like, all right, this kid, he
you
can make
mistakes.
You don't
dap people up anymore. You just, like, wave high.
But, right, 18, right. Though, 18 Hello, though, sir. Even, it's like you can go die for the country, right? So you're still a grown-up.
That's
up.
You know what's crazy to me, by the way, talking about that? In the States, like, yeah. Maybe just I'm gonna say it anyways. In the States, when you're 18, you can go like get a gun, go kill people in the war, but you can't sip a fucking beer.
It's weird.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's crazy. Like at least in Canada, it's like 18, 19. So it's like a little weird on the 19 part because you know what? I can go kill people for a year, then sip a beer to like deal with the PTSD. But like right off the bat at 18, it's like if you're gonna give someone a gun and say they can go fight for their country, they probably should be able to drink a beer.
Yeah, well, I mean, right? I think back in war, like any wars, it was like everyone fought because they had to, and then like you probably had a beer
Definitely.
Because you needed to relax.
Yeah, no way.
So it's weird how they separated those
by
two.
Like so much time too, right? Like 3 years is like a good amount of time to be like,
yeah.
All right, you can go, but you can't drink.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, man. I don't know. We do a lot of funny stuff here.
Yeah,
it's been getting funnier.
Okay.
In the States here, it's getting a little more interesting.
Yeah,
hopefully
yeah,
it'll
yeah.
turn around.
They changed like nicotine laws here too, right? It used to be like 18, and now it's 21, I think.
Yeah,
in the States,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, I guess, a little bit, but
yeah, we're looking for a turnaround here pretty soon. Hopefully,
wow. Are you making the decisions, Brad? Because you're over here, like, yeah, we're looking for it.
Yeah, no, everyone's.
Are you running?
Like, are you the one
yeah,
that
eventually,
this?
I think I will run. I think we're all kind of looking for a little bit of a turnaround in this
okay.
country.
Okay.
With you know. Current situation is just kind of interesting,
yeah.
To say the least. You know, not trying to make it. This is
not a political podcast, but
yeah, not at all. But no, not gonna do that.
See, I have like a little bit of a safety net because like I'm from Canada, so it's like yeah. anytime I'm asked like politics, like anytime it's like you know like the voting's going on or like it's like campaigning time. And people like will try to slide that in on interviews or something, right? Like a business, they'll
yeah,
be like,
yeah.
"Oh, who are you voting for? Who are you voting for?" I'm like, "I'm Canadian."
Yeah,
don't vote here. Sorry, it. Guys.
Yeah, I don't know. If that's, yeah, you can just like throw in like some Canadian slang.
Yeah.
And just be like, okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, never mind.
He clearly he doesn't know about this yeah, American shit.
That's not what he's talking
it's
about.
It's a mess over here right now, man. It's, I'll just say the least, it's a fucking mess.
I mean, it's a mess in Canada too right now. So.
Wait, have yeah. you used like the Canadian thing as like, I don't know, a way to get out of something or get aggro? I don't know, something random. Like,
I mean, I think I've like, I think maybe it would be funny if, I'll say like sometimes I'll be like I'm from Canada and then it like starts a conversation with a girl or something. I'll be like yeah I know French and then they'll be like how do you know French? And I'm like
do you know French?
I know like enough words to make it sound like I do.
Yo,
I mean
that's
no,
a flex.
I did French immersion for like 10 years of my life, so like that's like full blown French. Like I was learning math in French, geography in French, history in French, all of it. So then, once I got to high school though, I was like, dude. Fuck this shit.
This guy's
man.
At Stagecoach being like.
Yeah, but I'm at Stagecoach so like, voulez-vous French. Coucher avec moi ce soir?
That's a song.
Oh my God.
No, it just means, do you want to sleep with me tonight? Just,
yeah.
You just need to know a couple of lines.
No, I know,
right?
But like, it's in a song too.
Oh, really? I don't know that song.
Yeah, I don't know that song either. What song is that?
By Christina Aguilera.
Oh, that's an old fucking song. Yeah,
yeah.
We're old. That's what's up.
Yeah,
that's what
I
I'm
know.
Talking about.
Kinda,
holy shit, that's an old song.
Yeah, it's surprising, like, because I watch BFFs every now and then. Some of the shit you don't know kind of, like, shocks me.
Yeah, well.
Some of the shit he don't know?
Yeah.
He's young and Canadian.
That's
that
why.
Is, yeah.
It's kind of interesting. That's why I'm like, do you ever use the Canadian card to get yourself out of trouble? I mean, clearly you used it for girls, but, like, do you ever just, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think.
That's why I think
it's
crazy.
Sometimes I definitely use it to, like, if I just, like, sounded dumb, I'll be like, oh, we don't, that's not how we say it in Canada. That's why. Like, if I pronounce a word wrong, I'll be like, oh, we just pronounce it differently in
Canada.
Completely
different in Canada.
Yeah, I'll just use one of those ones. But
so what is your most, what is your most focused, like, what are you most focused on right now?
Right now, probably the production company and just getting projects started. Like, it's such a slow process, right? Because you don't really, anyone from the outside doesn't see all the calls you're doing, talking to other production companies, talking to people like Amazon, Netflix, pitching the idea to them, waiting to hear back, getting the deal done, then having to go into like production services, then like getting to the green light of the show. Like there's just so many steps, right? Film, like it takes like 2 fucking years. So it's like, we just started really rolling or starting. So people probably won't see results for another year, year and a half for some stuff. Yeah. And so I think it's like, it's going to be so rewarding when we finally can show, like, other people get to see it. But that's definitely like my biggest focus, that and acting. Like, I'm doing acting class and just trying to really focus on that.
Damn, dude. I always thought I could be a really good actor.
No.
I think I could still be a good actor.
Ah, I feel like, yeah.
I feel like I've done a lot of acting.
What? Like in like YouTube videos?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah,
I feel
like
low-key like could be better than Mark Wahlberg.
Wow. That's...
He claimed he's the best hockey player. Now he's claiming that he could
be an
actor.
Dude, couple humble brags. Couple humble brags on
just,
the pod.
You know, just because I was in a YouTube video once.
That makes sense.
And then I was like, everyone was like, yo, that was really good. So I was like, you know what? It's like Mark Wahlberg level. I mean, pretty much, right? Pretty
close, I guess. Maybe.
not at all, dude. Like, literally not at all. Oh, my God. So is the production thing, is like, how involved are you guys together?
With Mark and stuff?
Yeah.
So, yeah, when we were first
starting... Like, does he get up at 4 in the morning and work out with you? Because I feel like that's his thing.
No, he probably gets up at 4 in the morning and works out. I don't. I'm still sleeping. But, we do a lot of calls. Like, we'll talk just about projects that are coming up. I'll run ideas by him if we need help getting into contact with people, or if he wants to, like, let's say he has an idea on the film or project, if it's, we should bring in this casting director, these writers, or I want this star, right? So I think it's really getting to kind of get some of the knowledge from kind of the guy that knows all. And being able to use that ourselves and apply it to our work, or just like getting him to make the intros for us, calls for us. So
yeah, it's kind of like I met him at the... Yeah, I met him at the UFC. He's
really nice guy.
Super nice guy. I'm just like, this guy does everything though too. Like, he's got the burger thing. He's got burger, so many businesses.
F45. Yeah. He's got like he has like a drink. Like, it's just like you go down the line. It's
clothing, everything.
Municipal. Yep. He is diverse. That's for sure.
So is the goal to like, you want to be doing stuff like that, to have it all like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that's kind of like the end goal.
Damn, so the fucking 2025 Mark Wahlberg.
Josh Richards. Mark Wahlberg one of the bigger celebrities that you met that kind of like, I don't know, a pivotal moment for you? Like, you were starstruck or...
like, I made it. You like,
yeah,
you
know. Or like, oh, who were the people that you've encountered throughout, like, you know, your career that like, you're like, oh shit, you know what I mean?
I mean, obviously Bradley Martin, you know.
Bradley Martin guy. Yeah, because he's a... I heard he was like the best goalie of all time, too, in the NHL.
And he's an actor.
Yeah.
And he lifts like girls or some shit.
He's like, he's like tri-talented.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
But besides him, I would say when I was like 16 and I was working on an independent film, you guys know who Lawrence Fishburne is?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, met him on set. He was on a film I was doing. And I think that was probably the first time when I just saw it was like, holy fuck, I want to act. Like, this is what I want to act when I'm older. It was just such a cool experience getting to do a scene with someone that is so good at acting, like Lawrence Fishburne is, right? And you just really see him come into that character. Him, I would say Rob Lowe was another one. Getting to meet Rob Lowe, talk to him. Got to talk to him a lot too, like during Sway kind of, or just like around the Sway time when we had just been like partying a lot, just got arrested, like all that stuff going on. Like, kind of got to talk to him and have him a little bit as like a mentor and just be like, yo, dude, like, I know where you're coming from. And like, or Rob Lowe being able to say that to me, like, yo, I know where you are in life. And he was even deeper than I was, like when he was at his low point. So, him and, I guess like Mark too. Like, it would be those three that were probably like...
Not a single hockey player.
I mean, Gretzky was sick as fuck, right?
Come on. Like,
legendary. Like,
so sick, but he's a great one. But that was more of like, That like little kid like that was like running around the house when he was younger playing mini sticks pretending to be Gretzky in the basement, like was jumping around. You know what I mean? Like, it was more that than like a I've made it kind of thing. It was just more of like a pure like, holy fuck, my hero is sitting right in front of me.
That must be crazy.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the Sway times. Like, how did that shit end? Because it seems like it's done for. No.
Yeah, it's definitely done for. It ended actually like with kind of that Texas arrest that happened when we were down in Texas and got busted for weed. After that, me and the kid Jaden actually, we took a hiatus from Sway. a hiatus. Went and moved into an apartment together. We were pretty much like moving ourselves out of Sway just because of branding. He was doing music and then I was doing a lot of the business stuff. So it just wasn't smart to continue to associate like on that side or else everything would have probably like fallen through.
Because Bryce was such a shithead.
Bryce, yeah. Fucking shithead.
Fucking Bryce, dude.
No, but I love Bryce. But was in the apartment, kind of like stayed out of Sway for a while. And then slowly, eventually, like we kind of started like coming back, like me and Jaden into the fold. We ended up having like the two houses for a while where it was like some of us lived in Londonderry, some of us lived Vestone, and then it just kind of slowly started like separating. Like I know like at Bryce's house, it was like Blake and Noah had their girlfriends, so they were always just like with their girlfriends. Noah wasn't really going to the house, so Bryce was there kind of alone all the time, and he was throwing parties and doing the party animal shit. So that's why Noah and Blake would be like, I don't really want to be here every night when there's a party. Like, I want to be able to go to bed. And then it was like me at the house with Jaden and Quentin and Anthony and Griffin.
Then
Griffin moved to Miami. Yeah. Then like the Jaden shit happened with me and him. So then that kind of split shit up. And like, then I was just like, all right, I'll live with Anthony. And we kind of went and moved on our own. And then that was like, that was kind of it. Like, after that, there was really no Sway.
I think the podcasting was the best move for you.
Best fucking thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Best decision.
That's what it looked like from the outside too, just so you know. I saw that and I was like, oh, this is a good move for that kid. Oh,
thank you, man. Thank you.
It was like appreciate the dopest shit, I think.
It was just able to bring me, like I said, like earlier, that different demo.
Yeah.
How was it adding Brianna to the mix?
Such a good idea. I love Brianna.
Like, I know. I saw you did the no sleep thing with her.
Yeah.
And then you ate shit.
Ate shit so hard. It was
you ate
so
shit.
Embarrassing.
I'm missing something here.
Not like actually like with a spoon and fork, but like I slipped.
Would you though? If someone paid you a lot of money, would you eat shit?
What? Huh, that's a crazy question. I've never
Let's say like if someone was like $1 million, I mean it's like
$1 million? Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Right.
I feel like I'd do it for $100K.
Wait, you're almost telling me you guys would
if someone put $100,000 cash in front of you, now we're talking
business. And like I'm not gonna get sick from the shit or something.
But how do you know that?
Well, because
is that a part of the hypothetical?
Maybe they tested it. Maybe they like
tested it. Who shit is it?
I don't know.
Is it like someone that's like kind of bad?
What did they eat?
Oh,
what they eat last, you know?
Right.
Is it like a Taco Bell? Hey,
that was like hold on.
I got you.
Hold on. That was a really kind of weird. I'm not gonna lie, man. When you said, are they hot? Kind of like fucked me up a little bit because it sounded like you'd be more apt to eat someone's shit if they were hot.
I feel like you would be, right?
Yeah, you
want to eat like a disgusting person's shit?
I feel like. I hate that.
I feel like the hot person like kind of like cleans their butthole and shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not like you're getting old booty flakes mixed in with the new ones.
Oh, what?
No, yeah, no, I get it.
That's what my
Yeah, okay. Is. No, I mean, listen, I was not going to lie. Like when you said it, I thought and I was like, damn, he's kind of right.
That's what I'm saying.
So what if she's a hot girl? She had Taco Bell.
Oh, now you're throwing in.
What if she was like, yo, I want to shit on you.
Now we're talking about like Odell Beckham Jr. over here.
Oh my God.
Come on.
Oh my God.
I like, are we still getting money? Or is this just now purely a
enjoyment
for me and her thing?
Yeah, like would you?
No, I wouldn't enjoy that at all. Okay. I'd be like, why is there feces on me?
All right, so lowest amount. Weird. Lowest amount. $50K? Low-key, I feel like I would like how much do I gotta eat?
That's like is it one bite?
Yeah.
Everyone knows the rules.
Like, do I have to finish a bowl? Then I'm like,
Yeah, like cereal? No.
Yeah, are we rating it?
Way.
Is it like, are we
rating it? Why would you rate it, Brad? You're thinking about it way too much.
I'm saying, I just
want to know. This is nuts. What a turn. We went from like being super inspirational, like, hey guys, go achieve your dreams. Would you eat shit?
Yeah.
Well,
it's the way you said it. It fucked me up. My mind just goes crazy.
Yeah, because like I was talking about how he fell, and then you're like, eat shit. He's like, no, not like with the spoon and a fork or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, would you though?
As soon as he was like, well, how is she, like, is she hot? That's what got me going, dude. Because then I thought sexually, like, oh, are we just picking, like, this is like a, I'll eat shit that someone shits on me.
It's okay if you guys have a kink and you guys do
it. Dude, listen,
no one's judging you. Whoever does that, it's fine.
Sylvie was telling me how to
replay it. Brad brought it up. He asked me if I had eat shit.
Sylvie is into that. Sylvie, you into that, right? Okay, it's all good, dude. So what's the bottom number? I still need to know.
Oh, this is crazy.
Super hot chick. She Taco was like, Bell, one bite, one you could rate it out of 10.
I mean, I feel like I'd need like a good amount of money. Like
at least 100K.
Yeah, at least. I feel like that might be too small though.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
you are eating shit at the end of the day.
But now we can get inspirational. Aren't we always eating shit? You know? God, just like, Not we're just kind of always not like physically eating shit. I'm saying like in life, people make us eat shit, you know?
Right, right.
We got to overcome that.
That's true.
See,
that's
we're bringing
true.
It back now, dude.
Okay, okay, okay. Yeah. I like this. I like follow this. I like
here,
this. I like
follow
this.
Follow me here. We're bringing it back. Okay. We're not going to end it on like a what, how much shit would you eat for thing. How much? Because yeah. that would be weird.
That would be a weird end.
Well, yeah. The original question was just like, how was it like adding Brianna to the mix? And, you know, because I saw you went to the no sleep thing. And yeah, that's what.
Right. No, it's amazing. I love.
And then Brianna. I was just thinking, like, have you ever like, has she ever like shit? And then you came by the thing and you're like, whoa, it was like, did it smell good or not? Like,
haven't thought that. Don't.
Never thought nope. that. Nope.
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
That's going to get me in some Dave Portnoy trouble here.
Yeah.
Think, man.
But Brianna's cool though. I like Brianna. She's really dope. God. She's really cool. Holy I can't wait shit. For her to move to LA.
So she's going to move to LA, but how did you guys even add her to it? Cause I know she had her own podcast with Barstool. But now like, how did she get chimed into it?
Yeah. So she wasn't actually on at the beginning, but we had a, like another guy from Barstool on and it just didn't really flow well. It like didn't really work cause we were just trying to add like some more like point of views or like something else besides just me and Dave running with it. And then I think they were just kind of like rotating through the roster a little bit and like, oh, Brianna could be kind of cool. She does stuff on TikTok. So she came slid in and it just like made a lot of sense. I think a lot of people like it too, because now it's not just a guy's perspective, which I think is cool as well. Like we're getting the female's perspective on the situations a lot of time. And then also me and Dave's perspective, like an older dude and then a younger dude and then a female. So, I think it works out really well.
Yeah. You hit it all.
Yeah.
So the question is, when the fuck am I coming on BFFs?
You want to come on BFFs?
It's like,
Brad, you're not that.
Well, if you guys are asking me, you know, if I'm being invited, then
Brad, maybe if I pitch no it as maybe if anything. I pitch it as like, yo, best goalie in the world,
yep.
better actor than Mark Wahlberg,
yep,
may or may not like to eat shit,
yep.
Can we bring him on the pod? They'll probably say yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
After we put the clips out of you being on here, maybe they'll consider it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
you guys are talking about eating shit for like 2 minutes.
Put the shit clips out for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Get those TikTok.
And then you're talking about relationships, rosters.
That'll be the moneymaker. I got to take a piss real quick, and then we're going to do audience questions, right?
Okay.
Sweet. Okay. All right. So at the end of every episode, we do askrawtalk@gmail.com. If you guys want your questions answered by myself and the guest, then send those bitches in. Also go to the IG. At Get Raw Talk, if you could shoot us DMs, we get them there as well. Natalie, go ahead, take it away.
So this person says, I recently fractured two of my vertebrae in four places and can't go to the gym for anywhere from 3 to 6 months. The gym plays a big role in my mental state, and I was wondering if you guys have any advice that could make me stay happy and healthy.
Oh, fuck.
Like as far as like working out and stuff like that, because they won't be able to.
Fuck. So shit.
I'll let you answer first. Yeah, you're the gym guy.
Yeah, I got this. Yeah, I thought you were gonna take over. I was like, fuck. So, no. Here's my thing: is like you don't. I don't know the extent of the injuries. I don't know exactly what you can or can't do in the gym. Like what your limitations are. So that's something that it'd be hard for me to really answer this question. But I will say, if you can do something, then do it. You could also focus on like your diet, learn more about nutrition. Take this time in your downtime to learn more about the things that you can do when you come back, so you could be more efficient in like your approach back. At the same time, like I said, your nutrition, your diet, you could focus on all that stuff, because obviously you still have the power to control what you're eating, which will still affect the way you look, the way you feel. Basically what I'm saying is focus on the things right now that you can control, right? So if you could train to a degree without continuing to hurt yourself, then do what you can. Because you can control that. Obviously, you can't push yourself in a lane that you know it's going to affect your neck, right? So we're not going to focus on that. We could focus on all the other things that you can control, like your diet, the training that you can do, and focus on those things instead of the shit that you can't do. Otherwise, it's going to drive you fucking insane.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I work out more just or like try to do something physical just to get my mind clear. So I totally get what they're saying. I mean, like the only other thing I'd say might sound a little bit like weird or just like depending on who you are,
eat a spoonful of shit.
No, not where I was going.
Okay,
now might be weird though, depending on like, because when I first was like told to do this, I was like, there's no fucking way I'm doing that shit. But like meditation, just like that shit actually clears your mind so much. If you really just take like 15 minutes and kind of just like be with yourself and like sit down, clears the hell out of your mind, and you feel hella energized after too.
Yeah,
so I'd say that.
This is another thing that a lot of successful people talk about is meditation. I swear, yeah.
It's like, you can be manifesting the whole time, right? Like meditating. So then it's like you will come out of it and you're like, yeah, I'm going to get my fucking day going. Like it just gets you kind of hyped.
Yeah, for sure. And like I was saying too, based on what he's saying as well, is like, you can't control these things that obviously happen to you now. It's like, it was your circumstances. It's just like, how can you grow and get better from it? And even the practice of meditation, you know, like I was talking about the diet and all this other stuff that you could focus on. It's just another thing you can focus on to refine yourself. So when you can fully do the things you want to do again, you're just better at them. You're 100%, more focused.
100%.
Fuck yeah. Let's run the next one.
So this person says, what advice would you give to someone who is hungry for success?
I'll let you go.
All right. Yeah. I would say just it's simply like, it's not going to come right away. Like, I think people look at today's society, specifically with social media, and you see the highlights of everyone's life, right? Because that's what social media is. It's a highlight reel of the best parts of your life. And you're not going to notice the people either until they're big. So everyone has this thought in their head that it's like, it's right away. It happens so quick. But just keep fucking fighting, because that's how you're going to be the one that makes it, is if you just overcome everyone else's drive and work ethic. I think that's really what I did. It was starting when I was like 13, 14, and I didn't really get any name until I was like 18. So it was like 4 years of posting these stupid videos online until I finally started getting recognition, right? So it's just, don't give up, like never give up.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. So what he's saying, everything is 100% true. I think that to take it to the next level is, you know, in looking at other people, you know, they say comparison, you know, is the thief of happiness.
Yep.
And every time you look at other people, don't necessarily take this as a way as like, okay, you can't look at someone to get motivation. But the point is, like, you should look at something, take it as motivation, but the root somewhere in your like heart should be why you really want to do the thing. Not just, I want to do the thing because Josh Richards did it, or I want to do the thing because Bradley Martin did it, or whoever you love or whoever you enjoy. You need to figure out why the fuck that matters to you to get there. 100%. Instead of just like, oh, I want the money, I want the popularity, I want the fame, whatever. You should have some sort of clear line. Got to
go in with the right intentions, right? It's so big.
Yeah, and that, it's hard because, like I said, there's so much comparison nowadays that people just get on the internet and they're like, oh, that guy's doing this, I want to be successful and his life looks cool, so I want to do that. Without understanding that the person likely got there from some sort of like, you know, something innate inside of them and some sort of line. They're like, I need this, I want this, this is important to me. So my point is this, like, don't be hard on yourself if you're using someone else for motivation, but remember that that person probably got there, not just because they were looking at someone else, but they really got there because all the trying times is like, you can't just look at, you know, Josh or Bradley or whoever and be like, oh, okay, I would do that. And then you get halfway and you get punched in the face and it doesn't work. And then you're likely going to quit if it's not something that is truly really substantially meaning to you. So focus on that part of whatever it is and what you're trying to do and how you're trying to do it. And use inspiration, but you really gotta dig deep into like, why does it really matter to you? And then when all the obstacles come to punch you in the fucking face and fuck you up, it's never gonna stop you. So
100%. Yeah.
You got another special one over there?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
So it says, what are some mental strategies you use to stay focused on your goals and block out all the distractions that life may bring, including stress, relationships, all that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of already said it a little bit, like meditation. Like, meditation is a big one. Think it allows you to like clear anxiety or just be kind of more certain in yourself. Like, you are really sitting down and visualizing how you want your day to go, or how you want your week to go, or how you want your life to go. And I think that's just a really powerful thing to be able to do. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously I'm going to say working out, and working out is just another form of meditation. It's obviously a more physical, more active form of it. Yep. But for me in my life, it's always been the thing that I've done. That's like helped me work through mentally things that are challenging, and also helped inspire me to think of new things just through the act of it, being like, oh wow, my brain feels so much more alive. It feels so much better. So don't skip working out. It'll fucking change your life.
Stimulates your brain. Like, I just get so like clear headed after, you know what I mean? Like, when I go out, like, hockey is a big thing for me too, that like I just need to keep playing. Yeah, so every Monday night I go out and play hockey.
Like, it's not like just that. I want to make this, it's important you said that. It's not just go be a gym bro. Cause you might look at me saying it, be like, oh, that means I have to go do sets and reps, but just do something physically active, whether it's hockey, hiking, fucking basketball. It doesn't matter. Something that allows you to like use your body, use your mind in some sort of kind of challenging fashion. It's a form of meditation that's just, it's a little more active, and I think everyone should do that, like, period. 100%. I think it'll make your life better. It'll also make your sex life better.
Yeah.
It'll also make you, you know, sharper.
Yep, all those.
And then you won't end up eating spoonfuls of shit and trying to rate it for money.
That's true. That's so true. You don't want to be doing that.
Don't do that. That's it. I love you guys. Unless you wait, sweet. Do you have any questions for me? I love. I want to do this with every podcast too.
So are you the dad?
Dad of who?
Lana Rhodes, baby.
Wait, what are you talking about?
No, that's not me. I can't say who the dad is.
Do you know who it is, though?
I know who it is, yeah.
And you swear it's not you?
I cannot confirm nor deny the existence. Well, it's not me.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not me.
Just say you plead the fifth.
Yeah, it's not me.
I really thought maybe it was.
Why?
I don't know.
The way you were coddling the baby?
Yeah, it just looked like so natural.
Yeah, the baby was very sweet, man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was in love with the baby.
That was a great conversation. I really want to say that. I appreciate that. With Lana and with you today.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks,
it was amazing. Thanks, and we did a podcast. How old were you? It was a long time ago.
I was 18, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think I was still 17 at that point.
You were legit. You might have been 17, I think, because maybe on the podcast we said that.
Yeah, could have been.
Fuck, that was years ago.
Yeah, I was like a young. Came on with Bryce, right? Like, yeah. It was. Fuck, that was crazy.
Wow. Is that I feel like we were
such like little douchers back then, dude.
Yeah, but not really. You guys, I mean, you just had success, right? It's like, so you're on, but you were never really like douchebags.
Oh, okay. You know? Thank you.
Bryce really plays that up on the internet, but he's not like really a piece of shit.
Yeah. He definitely like plays into the character.
Yeah. And I don't blame him for it because it works. Yep. It's funny though. When people like actually meet, they're like, oh, he's actually pretty nice.
Yeah. They're like, oh, it kind of seems kind of chill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you, for real.
Man.
Thank you for having me.
And being so candid and showing so much love.
100.
And yeah, thank you guys for fucking subscribing. Thank you guys for all the recent love. And yeah, I'm just fucking grateful. Happy to be here. Happy to be a part of all this. Subscribe to the channel, all that good shit. We're out of here. That's it.
Doses.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.